You'll open with me, if you have your Bible, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to spend just a few moments in this familiar passage that we've been leading up to on Sunday mornings, if you've been with us. You know, that passage that Silas just read, there's so many promises in it, packed into two or three little verses there. He ends by saying, "I will be a sanctuary in their midst." And you know, that's what we lost in the very beginning when we rebelled against God, when human beings turned away from God. We lost the ability to live together with our Maker. The ability to be in community with God Himself. And the promise of the Old Testament over and over and over is that God says, "I will be your God and you will be my people. I'm making a way back. I'm giving you a way back in. And even though you keep rebelling against me, and even though you don't deserve it, I'm bringing you back to a place where you will live eternally with me." With me. Where God and man can once again dwell together. This passage in Luke 2, we've heard probably just about every Christmas if we've been in churches or even if we haven't been in churches. This is such a familiar passage that it can become almost rote to us. But let's take just a moment to read these seven verses and reflect on them for a couple of minutes before we sing a couple more songs and we go home to celebrate. In those days, this is verse 1, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Pray with me for just a moment. Lord God, this is your word, perhaps one of the most familiar sections of your word, and also, Lord, one of the most profound, one of the most amazing. I pray that in these few moments together, we would reflect on you and know you more through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Luke starts this story about Jesus Christ and his birth with a little statement about a man named Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus. And this isn't just a time marker for Luke. This is actually an important piece of the story for Luke. You know, he actually doesn't give us that many details about Jesus' birth. The story is all about Jesus' birth, but he doesn't spend that much time talking about Jesus' birth. In fact, he spends almost more time talking about this census that's happening. And this ruler from Rome, the most powerful man on earth, someone who we know all about from history. In fact, I'll read you an inscription that we know of from Caesar Augustus. This was written by Caesar Augustus, talking about himself. It says, "Divine Augustus Caesar, son of a god, imperator of land and sea, the benefactor and savior of the whole world." That's how Caesar thought of himself, and that's how he wanted everyone else to think of him. In fact, in many places in the ancient world, they would talk about how Caesar was the one who brought peace. Maybe you've heard the term Pax Romana, or the peace of Rome, that Caesar came and he brought people together and he brought peace. This was who the world was supposed to look to, as the one who brings peace. This was who the world was supposed to find their hope in. And the census was simply a reminder of that. Come and register, everyone. Give just a little bit of money to Rome, not much, but be reminded of who your rulers are. Be reminded of where your hope is. Caesar Augustus, the king of the world, the bringer of peace, the Savior. That's how Luke starts this account of Jesus' birth. He starts it with the one who's supposed to be the Savior of the world by all human standards. And what I want you to consider for just a moment tonight is this. What do you look to for peace? You know, there's really a buffet of options that the world gives us. Things that we can look to or are supposed to look to for peace, for comfort, for happiness, for joy. There's so many things out there. And you know, sometimes in the church we can think of Jesus as just another one of those options. Just another thing. Just another part of the buffet that brings me peace. What I want us to see tonight is that Luke tells us that there's no buffet of true peace. There's a false world buffet of options to bring us peace, but the reality is that there is only one source of true peace. There is only one source of true fulfillment and happiness. There's only one true powerful one. And he has brought his peace in the most unlikely possible way. You know, Jesus is set up in this story in the biggest contrast possible to Augustus. Augustus, the most powerful man on earth, and Jesus given just a few details about his birth. And you know, what stands out to me in this story is what's not said. You know, we think of this, the Christmas story, maybe as almost a mythical story of God becoming man. But what's not said in the story, what Luke doesn't say in the story, or what he doesn't give us details about, is how the birth actually happened. And you know why he doesn't give us details about that? Because it was so ordinary. You know, when you're telling a story, you bring out the things that were unusual, and you assume that the person who's listening knows the things that were just ordinary and supposed to happen. But when Luke tells this story, he doesn't tell us any of the details of the birth because the birth was so ordinary. You know, Mary probably started having contractions. And then as the contractions went on, they got closer together and more painful. And hours later, she began to go into full, you know, the second and third stages of labor. And then she began the painful hours of pushing with your first child. It's usually hours. And then Jesus came. First his head, and then his body, and then, as Tertullian said, an ancient pastor in the third century, he said, then the afterbirth. All the messiness, all the ordinariness. Now, you know, you probably didn't come expecting to hear a detailed account of human birth, sorry. But this is the remarkable ordinariness of what God has done. In contrast to the extraordinary, powerful Caesar Augustus, the one who's supposed to bring the world peace, God enters in the ordinariness and messiness of a babe, of a human birth. Not only that, but he enters in a particular place. He enters in this small peasant home. You know, we think of it as a stable, an idyllic scene outside. Most likely, what this home is, the word that Luke uses for inn here is actually a word he uses elsewhere for guest room. Usually, most ancient houses had just one room. And the animals actually sometimes would be brought in at night on sort of a lower floor in the mangers. The areas where the animals would feed were actually in the home right there. And most likely, I believe what's happening, what Luke is describing here, is that they're in that one room and it's crowded. They're in somebody's home. It's overcrowded to the point that there's not enough room to set Jesus down, and so they set him in a manger where the animals off to the side would have normally fed. That's the place that Jesus came into. The ordinariness of a human birth, and in the shadow of the palace, the extravagant palace of Herod that's just up the road, he prefers to come in the peasant's home and to be set in a feeding trough. Why is this important? Well, what I want you to think about tonight is this. The world has on offer all sorts of different options that can bring you peace and happiness. But I want you to see the extravagant love of God for you. The extravagant love of God for you that I believe is the only place where you can find true peace. The Lord of the universe, the one who fills all things, the one who knows every nook and cranny and is king over every square inch of this earth, who knows each spot, he chooses this small peasant guest room to enter in, where there isn't enough space in the room for him to occupy a normal crib. The Savior, the King, he could have come to a house that had space for him, but he came to a house that didn't have enough room because of how overcrowded it was. And my, how our lives and our hearts get so overcrowded so easily. The Lord Jesus Christ offers himself and in comes intentionally to overcrowded places. And he'll even give himself to you and the overcrowdedness of your heart. There's so many worries, so many fears, so many difficulties, so many things to think about, so much busyness, so many things in our hearts, so many things on our minds, so many hopes that we had that are no longer true or able to happen. So many fears, so many anxieties. Our hearts are so crowded in, and that's where Jesus comes. Jesus comes not telling you to get all that other stuff out and then let him in, but he comes into that space because of his extravagant love for you. He actually came in human birth. He actually became a human so that you might know him and that he might be able to enter in. And friends, just as it says, as Luke highlights this fact that Jesus was swaddled up, he says she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. 22 chapters later, Luke will say that Jesus was wrapped up in cloths and placed in a tomb, one that no one had been in. That same formula, Jesus, who came from heaven to earth, would also go to the grave for your sake in order that he might break the bonds of death and that he might break every single thing that stands against God and his glory so that you might know him and that in your overcrowded heart he might enter in and be with you. In the midst of the busyness and the overcrowdedness of this season, let us remember tonight and tomorrow morning, this is all about Jesus Christ. It is all about the one who had everything and yet made himself nothing for your sake. Pray with me. Lord God, we can't imagine the love that it takes to have a perfect place of peace and power and prosperity from all eternity, and to set that aside in order to take on all of the struggle and suffering and difficulty of human life in order to save us. And Lord, our lives are so full of things. And Lord, you call us to yourself. You call us to make you the king of it all, to give up our control. Lord, to surrender our lives to you in faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that day in and day out. We all struggle with this so much, Lord. We pray that you would help us to see the glory of what you've done. And Lord, to follow you and to look to you as our King and our Savior, the only one who can bring us peace. Amen.